Let's see. We're ready for the teaching of the word, but it is Super Bowl Sunday. So I put it on the Facebook group for y'all to wear your favorite jersey. So I'm going to go. They didn't want me in my jersey, you know, for any baby dedication. So I'm going to go put on my jersey. It's back here. But I'm going to preach in a jersey today. I've got my jersey to put on for Super Bowl Sunday because it's Super Bowl. So, got my jersey. What? Does it go with the shirt? This is my jersey. Those of you that are visiting, I follow baseball like crazy. Used to watch the Braves games at your house, Jack and Ethel. Oh my goodness, all these memories. So this is my. I don't have a football jersey. So this is the jersey I'm going to wear today. It's Hank Aaron. So it's the greatest jersey ever. He's my favorite player ever. Still is. It doesn't have to be a football jersey. What do we got? I see some dolphins. I see dolphins. What else do I have? What's over there? What's over there, Colleen? Oh, yours is at the house? You didn't wear it. Who else got your jersey on? Oh, what? Oh, is that Patriots? Okay, we got Patriots back there. Oh, there's another New England Patriots. Okay. I think we have a Wisconsin here. We have a Wisconsin jersey, so there we go. How many of you are rooting for the Patriots? Woo! There's the Patriots right here. There we got front row Patriot jerseys right there. How many of you are rooting for the Falcons? Woo! All right. How many of you, you're not rooting for the Falcons. You're just rooting against the Patriots. Woo! I know. You don't even know who plays for the Falcons. You're just rooting, you just want the Patriots to lose. Oh, is that a sin? Yeah. It is Super Bowl Sunday. Patriots versus the Falcons. I'll probably watch. I don't watch a lot of football, but I'll probably be watching the Super Bowl. A lot of people stay home. You guys, thank you so much. Sunday 1 and Sunday 2, good attendance at both services. Because some people stay home. The game starts at 6:30. Why would anybody miss church? Pre-game started 5 days ago, but so some people don't want to miss any of the pre-game. They get up and watch it from 6 a.m. on. Let me just give you an idea. Here's what's going to happen. Here's the way it all happens. There's hours and days and weeks of pre-game coverage before the game. There's a 6:30 kickoff. That's when the kickoff is. It's 6:30 p.m. Then they'll play the first half. And then I understand there's a lot of gaga. I don't really know what that is, but there's a lot of gaga stuff that's going to happen somewhere in there in the middle. Then that's going to be interesting. And then second half plays. And then there's hours and hours and hours of post-game coverage. That's what's going to happen. Some people say we should have, and you see this, they want Monday after Super Bowl to be a holiday. Really? But I get it, y'all. Some of y'all are really into Super Bowl, like I'm into the World Series, so I get that. But I want to talk about one part of what's going to happen today that I didn't mention that you all probably can't wait for. This is the one part of Super Bowl Sunday you look forward to the most. This is the one time you don't want to take a bathroom break. This is what you want to see. It's the pregame introductions. What? No, no, you don't care about that. The pregame introductions, that's when they go through all the team and they put it, now they have the big graphics on there and you see what college they went to, you see their stats, you see what dessert they like, you see everything about them on the pregame introductions now. That's what we're going to preach about today. It's so cool as I go verse by verse through books of the Bible and I don't plan this out, I just go verse by verse and yet God will bring me to a passage that happens to perfectly fit the day. So here's what's happening. We've been talking about Luke. John the Baptist has been saying what? Someone is coming. That's what he's been saying. Prepare the way. Someone's coming, the Messiah. I'm not even worthy of untying the straps of his sandals, but someone is coming. And so Jesus, right now in our teaching verse by verse of the Bible, he is right outside. He's about to enter the stadium. His ministry is about to begin. And John the Baptist has been saying, here, all that pregame coverage, that's John the Baptist. But before Jesus enters, and we'll start a new sub-series, and we'll start talking about the early ministry life of Jesus Christ. But before that, we get to this cool part in the Bible. One of my favorite things to preach are these genealogies. If you'd have known I was preaching on the genealogy, you probably wouldn't have come today. So-and-so begat so-and-so, so-and-so the father of so-and-so, so-and-so the son of so-and-so, and just on and on and on. You read this in your daily Bible reading, and you just skim past it real fast, because you can't pronounce the names. You know, I can't either. But what I love about the Word of God, I like to preach genealogies, because I've had people in the past tell me, wow, I've never heard anybody preach a genealogy. I didn't know there was anything in there worth reading. There is. If it's in the Word of God, then it's the Word of God. And if he put a genealogy there, there's a reason. There's something there for us to dig into and something for us to pull out. And so I like to teach these genealogies. I want to read you a paragraph before I get into it. David Gusick is a Calvary Chapel pastor from California. And he tells this story. A Bible translator to a distant tribe saved the genealogies for last because he thought them the least important part of the gospel. But when he finally finished them, last of all, the tribesmen were astounded. They told the translator, "You mean to tell us this Jesus was a real person with real ancestors? We had no idea." One reason these are in here is to make sure we understand we're not talking about Thor. We're not talking about some mythological figure. We're not talking about Aesop's fables. We're talking about the Word of God. We're talking about a real human being. Jesus Christ was a real human being, so much so we can trace his genealogy. We know who the father of, the father of, the father of, and we can go all the way to Jesus Christ and prove that he actually did walk and talk and lived on this earth. So we're going to read through this. It's going to be fun. We're going to read through this, all these names. We're going to have some minor players. Some of the players are really like bench players. They're on the team, but you don't really know what they do. And some of them are major players. They're the stars. So we're going to talk about some of the minor players, talk about some of the major players, and see what we find here. Now, here's something I need to tell you. We usually have the verses up on the screen, and we have had a major glitch today that we don't have the verses on the screen. So if you guys are back in the back, if anybody needs a Bible, if you raise your hand up high, we'll pass out Bibles to you today. If you need a Bible, keep your hand up high. The guys will put a Bible in your hand, because we're actually going to be reading from the Word of God today, reading straight from the Bible. If you want to, you can log on to our guest Wi-Fi. The password is Chapel for Christ. I'll be using my YouVersion Bible app today on my tablet, so you're more than welcome to do that. Hands up high, get your Bibles. Turn to Luke chapter 3, and we're going to start with Luke chapter 3, verse 23. It says, Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his public ministry. He's coming. It's about to happen. Jesus was known as the son of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Heli, H-E-L-I. I pronounce it Heli because it sounds way better than Heli. I didn't want to say Heli, so it's Heli. I don't know how these are really pronounced, but I'm going to make my own thing up. So, Heli. Now, a couple things here I want to pull out. Jesus was the son. Well, first of all, what's it say? Jesus was known as. Nowhere else in this genealogy does it say was known as. It always says the son of, the son of, the son of. Here it says Jesus was known as. Some of the other versions say, so it was thought. Some says, as was supposed, the son of Joseph. Why is that? Because he's not really the son of Joseph. We know that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Joseph is not the biological father of Jesus. The Bible tells us that Mary and Joseph refrained from relations until afterwards. So she is a virgin. She now has this baby. So Joseph is more of an adopted dad, an earthly dad to Jesus. But what stands out to me here, I guess being a dad, this really stood out to me. Jesus was known as the son of Joseph, little s. We call him the son of God, capital S. Is God the son, capital S? He wasn't just a capital S son. He was a little s son. Jesus was a boy. Jesus was a baby. He was a toddler. And I always think of Jesus and Mary, and The Passion of the Christ shows that relationship. Jesus and Mary, great, great movie showing that. We don't know a lot about his relationship with his dad. But I like to think, having a son myself and all those years, and now Andrew's off at college, you know, I like to think of Jesus and Joseph having this father-son relationship. We know of Joseph up until about age 12 of Jesus. We don't know really anything after that. It's supposed that he passed away. But through those years, he helped raise Jesus. So Jesus had a daddy on earth right here. I imagine they played catch. That's what I think they did back in the backyard. But we do know that Joseph was a carpenter. We know that Jesus is called the son of the carpenter. We know that Jesus isn't he the carpenter from Nazareth? So somewhere in there, Jesus and Joseph spent time together, and he actually taught Jesus his trade at carpentry. So it's just cool. We don't know a lot about it, so I don't like to speculate about it. But it's cool to me to see this father-son relationship with his earthly father. But there's some interesting things here now that I need to pull out here. Not long into this story, we see something happening here. Joseph, it says, was the son of Heli. Now, I got to tell you, he wasn't. Does that surprise you? It says Joseph was the son of Heli. Joseph wasn't the son of Heli. What is going on here? You're messing with the Word of God. Let me show you what's happening. Matthew and Luke both give us genealogies. They're similar, but they're different. Matthew's going to give us a genealogy the other direction. He's going to say the father of, the father of, the father of, while Luke is saying the son of, the son of, the son of. But Matthew tells us something different. In fact, if you want to flip over there, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. In Matthew's genealogy, it says this: Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. So the father wasn't Heli, it was Jacob. What's happening here? Well, Matthew is going to give us the genealogy through the line of Joseph, which was the proper way. You always went through the line of the men, not the women. But what Luke is actually giving us is the line to Jesus through Mary's side of the family. So we're now seeing both sides of Jesus' family in these two genealogies. Matthew through Joseph, Luke through Mary. Why are we doing this? Well, this is a unique person. This is the Messiah. And I think God wants to make sure he's going to give us this genealogy and this genealogy. He's going to show us not only was this an actual real person, this is the only person ever who can make the claim of being the Messiah. It's going to be the only one who can trace his lineage both ways, from mother and father. He can trace his lineage the way he's supposed to for the Messiah. Joseph, then, is actually the son-in-law of Heli. But women weren't supposed to be in the genealogies. They didn't talk about women in the genealogies. And so Luke's kind of following protocol, and he puts the son of, but it's really son-in-law. So it's interesting. You're not supposed to talk about women, so Luke does it that way, but he's actually going through the lineage of a woman. He's breaking tradition. Matthew broke tradition too. He does it the right way. He gives the genealogy through the man, but look what he does. Matthew throws women into his genealogy. That was unheard of. You never had women in a genealogy. Let's talk about some of these women that Matthew has in his genealogy. It's Tamar. Look up that story this afternoon. That's a radical story. Tamar, there was some things happening there we don't need to discuss in mixed company. So Tamar, things are happening. Rahab is in the genealogy. She was a woman of the evening. Ruth, you know her story. We have the book of Ruth. Good story. How about this one? You know this name? Bathsheba. She is actually in the genealogy leading to Jesus. What I think so cool about this, we're seeing God through these two genealogies just totally break with tradition. Oh, you're not supposed to talk about women. Ladies, do you know the most radical people on the face of the earth at that time were Christians? They were the ones giving women more freedom than ever. And that's the way it should be. Folks, in the Church of Jesus Christ, women should never feel subjected to men. I understand the whole authority thing and the man and all that, but men, let's face it, sometimes we use those scriptures to make sure we always have the remote. That's what we do. Well, you know, the Bible says, I'm the man of the house. Yeah. women should be elevated to the place of being equal in the church of Jesus Christ. So here's these genealogies, actually one through the lineage of Mary, one actually talking about women. It was radical at that time. All right, we're going to have fun now. We're going to go through some of these names. Don't correct my pronunciation. I have no idea how they're supposed to be pronounced. We are in Luke chapter 3, starting at verse 24. Let's pick it up. Heli was the son of Mathat. Mathat was the son of Levi. I really wish, see, if you hadn't already named her, and if you ever have a son, Matthew and Emily, I got some great names here. Okay, through this, this is where you find baby names right here. Mathat was the son of Levi. Levi is actually the first person who ever wore jeans. You know better. But this morning, I'm going to be giving you some alternative facts, because I hear that's okay now. So Levi, you're going to get facts and alternative facts. Levi was the son of Melchi. Melchi was the son of Janai. Janai was the son of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Mattathias. Mattathias was the son of Amos. Amos was the son of Nahum. Nahum was the son of Esli. Esli was the son of Nagai. Nagai was the son of Math. It's M-A-A-T-H, so it looks like Math. Math was the son of Mattathias. Mattathias was the son of Simeon. Simeon was the son of Josic. Josic was the son of Yoda. Yoda? Yoda? No, that's altogether another story, it is what that is. It's actually J-O-D-A, so it's not... It's Jodah. Jodah was the son of Jonan. Jonan was the son of Resa. Resa was the son of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was the son of Shealtiel. There's a good name. Shealtiel was the son of Neri. Neri was the son of Melchi. Melchi was the son of Adai. Adai was the son of Kosam. Kosam was the son of Elmadam. I thought that was cool. Elmadam. Would you like to have that? There's a name for you. I am Elmadam. I think it's because his dad had such a boring name. If you look, like Elmadam was the son of That was his name. So grew up with so he wanted to give his kids something fancy. Elmadam. So was the son of Joshua. Joshua was the son of Eliezer. Eliezer was the son of Joram. Joram was the son of Mathat. Mathat was the son of Levi. Again, Levi was the son of Simeon. Simeon was the son of Judah. Judah was the son of Joseph. Joseph was the son of Jonam. Jonam was the son of Eliakim. Eliakim was the son of Maleah. Maleah was the son of Minah. Minah was the son of Mattatha. Now watch, here we get some names we know. Those are all the bench players. Mattatha was the son of Nathan, and Nathan was the son of David. This is important that we hit David. All of the messianic prophecies we're saying, and if you want to turn back, I'm going to find it. It's Jeremiah. We're going to go to Jeremiah chapter 23. All of the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament, many of them are saying that the Messiah is coming through the line of David. Here's the one, Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. For the Lord, the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is just and right throughout the land. And this will be his name. The Lord is our righteousness. In that day, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. And so the Messiah was going to have to come through the line of David. Well, here we see it. Now watch. Matthew's genealogy goes Joseph's lineage. Mary's, Luke's goes through Mary's, but they both go to David. And it's at David where they split. They both go from Abraham to David the same. At David, the genealogies split off. So Matthew goes from David to David's son Solomon and heads all the way to Joseph. Luke goes from David to his son Nathan and goes all the way to Mary. So it really doesn't matter. If you want to go through Mary's line, you want to go through Joseph's line, fine. He still goes to King David. This is the Messiah. There's never going to be any doubt that this one person is the Messiah. Anybody else who has ever said they are the Messiah cannot fill the biblical mandate for what the Messiah needed to be. And so I think that is awesome. They both go all the way back to David. Okay, now let's go on. Luke chapter 3, verses 32 through 34. David was the son of Jesse. Jesse was the son of Obed. Obed was the son of Boaz. Boaz was the son of Salmon. I never know if it's salmon or Salmon. You know, when you order in the restaurant, Salmon. The L silent. I don't know why the L silent. But since it's a name, I'm going to say Salmon. Salmon was the son of Nahshon. Nahshon was the son of Amminadab. Amminadab was the son of Admin. Admin is actually the first person to ever use that as a username. That's there in the history. All my tech people will get that joke. Nobody else, goes right over their head. Admin was the son of Arni. Arni was the son of Hezron. Hezron was the son of Perez. Perez was the son of Judah. Now here we go. Judah was the son of Jacob. Jacob was the son of Isaac. And Isaac was the son of Abraham. Abraham. So both Matthew and Luke will go to Abraham. Now, Matthew actually starts with Abraham. He doesn't go any farther than Abraham. He starts with Abraham. Abraham, the father of, the father of, the father of, and down to Jesus. But Abraham. Luke is going to go past Abraham. Why? Why is that different? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, four Gospels, four different perspectives, four different audiences. Why are there four Gospels? Matthew wrote primarily to Jewish people, Jewish Christians, to give the Jewish, to basically say, this is the Jewish Messiah. Well, who do the Jews trace their roots to? Abraham. So what mattered to Matthew was Abraham. I want to show you that Jesus can be traced to Abraham. We know that Abraham is the father of the Jewish nation. We're going to go to Genesis, the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verse 18. I like to put it this way. God promised the Messiah to come. But the Messiah was going to be born into a race of people. So he had to choose a race of people. Now, I don't know. This is not biblical. It's just my speculation. God will correct me when I get to heaven. But I just think God looked down at on earth and said, I need the Messiah to come from a race of people. Let me look what I got. And he basically said, no, none of them will do. Everybody's messed up. I'll make a new nation. I'm going to start from scratch. And so he takes one man, Abram, and says, I'm going to create a new nation out of you, Abram. And that nation is going to be the Israelites, the Jewish people, the Hebrews. And through that nation, Genesis 18, 18 says, for Abraham will certainly become a great and mighty nation. One man becomes this great and mighty nation. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him. Through him. And so the prophecy, not just that it has to go to the line of David, but that back to Abraham, and all the nations are blessed because through the line of Abraham comes this Messiah. Again, these genealogies are giving us absolute proof that this one man, Jesus Christ, is the Messiah. He is the only way. No one else is a path to God. He is the biblical path to God, as we see here in these genealogies. Now, Luke, remember what I said about Luke? We're calling our series Investigation. Because Luke told us in the beginning of his gospel that he was going to do a long investigation. He's going to do eyewitnesses. He's going to do interview people. He wants to investigate it clearly, and he told us why. So you can be certain of the truth. This isn't any fake faith thing. This isn't, this whole faith thing, this whole Christianity thing, it's not like, well, this is my path. This is what I like. Anybody can believe whatever they believe. This is my crutch. You have your crutch. That's not what Christianity is. Christianity is this faith that this is all actually true, that the Bible is actually true. And so Luke says, I'm going to investigate everything there is to know about Jesus so we can be certain, not just a cross my fingers, rabbit foot kind of faith. I'm going to be absolutely certain in my faith. And so Luke goes on. Let's go. The starting lineup, pregame introductions, Luke chapter 3, verses 35 and 36. Actually, I'll go in the middle of 34. Abraham was the son of Terah. Terah was the son of Nahor. Nahor was the son of Serug or Surig. Surig was the son of Ru. Ru was the son of Peleg. Peleg was the son of Eber. Eber was the son of Shelah. Every time I read that, I always think this poor guy named Shelah. That's what I think about. And that old song. Any Johnny Cash fans? So Johnny Cash, growing up, I always heard this song, A Boy Named Sue. Anybody know that song? It's a whole story song by Johnny Cash, A Boy Named Sue. And I thought, and the whole story of the song is, the dad says, I want my son to be tough. So I'm going to name him Sue, so he'll have to fight his whole life and be tough. And I thought, that is child abuse. That's what that is. It's terrible. So if you have a son, don't name him Shelah after this guy here in the Bible. Shelah was a son of Canaan. Canaan was a son of Arphaxad. There you go. Arphaxad was a son of Shem. Sounding familiar. Shem was the son of Noah. Noah. I've made my way all the way to Noah. Well, of course I did. No one exists on the earth that didn't get off the ark. Of course I go back to Noah. All of you go back to Noah. Don't waste your money. Okay, it's not a waste. If you want to do Ancestry.com, that's fine. But I can tell you, you go to Noah. We all got off the same boat together. All races, all everybody. One family got off the boat. Now, you might say, that's ridiculous. I prefer to believe in science. And science tells me that the whole story of the ark is ridiculous. I'm going to ask you scientists to be as open-minded as you always ask us to be as Christians, because they'll always say, you Christians are just so closed-minded, until I trap them and then they find out they're closed-minded. Be open-minded about this. Let's talk about this for a minute. Some people say it's a myth. It's just an allegory. No way. No way all the animals could have fit on the ark. Because Pastor David, I've seen the ark. I've seen pictures. It's so small, the giraffe's head has to stick out the window. You ever seen those pictures? We put them in kids' classrooms in this little tiny ark and giraffes are sticking out. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a long time. That is not a biblical picture of the ark at all. The ark, when we talk through Genesis, the ark is actually probably about as wide as this building, but it's three or four times longer and higher stories. So in the ark, there's plenty of room, especially when you factor this in. He didn't have to take in all the different subspecies. All he had to take in was the main genetic number one species that started all the subspecies. That's all he had to take in. And at that, they could have been babies and probably were babies. I found this in the Daytona. I wish I had printed this article. The Daytona News Journal several years ago printed an article. And they might have got it from the AP, wherever they got it. A scientific study found every animal that can trace its roots as a dog, whether it's wolf, coyote, whatever it is, everything that's in the dog family, they found out through genetics, they can trace it back to one common pair of dogs, one male and one female. Science figured this out. One male and one female. And they went on to say in the article that common set of dogs probably originated somewhere in the Middle East. They never mentioned Noah, never mentioned the ark. And I want to go, well, glad you figured that out. I could have told you that. I love it when science, for those of you that love science, man, study science. Please study science, because you're going to find, if you're really looking for the truth, science will always lead back to the Word of God. The Bible never has to adapt to the Word of God. The Word of God doesn't have to adapt to science. Science always adapts to the Word of God. So here we go. Now, some people will say, no way the world was flooded. No way the whole world was flooded, because they're thinking of natural rain, the way we have rain. But that's not really what the Bible says. The Bible says that the heavens exploded and the waters underneath the earth exploded. I don't know if this is true or not, but it's what I believe, and if we believe it or not. But some people believe that at one time there was a water canopy around the atmosphere of the earth. Now, that would explain a lot of things. We'll see in a few minutes. This water canopy around the earth. And if that covered us, now we have perfect environment, perfect temperature, perfect a greenhouse effect. Perfect vegetables, that would be huge. They have discovered, you know, archaeology found it. There used to be really big fruit and vegetables. Oh, really? Isn't that interesting? So if there was a canopy, you would have had really big, perfect health, no UV rays, which cause a lot of aging and death. And so it's very possible that this covering and then all this water in the earth, all these gaps inside the core where the oil forms and everything, what if, the Bible says, all the water from inside the earth exploded? What if all the heavens exploded with water, that would flood the earth. So it's very possible scientifically that, yes, this actually happened. This man Noah, his story is true. That's why for me, I don't know if there's worse sins. I don't think there's worse sins. They're all sin. But, man, racism, prejudice, that just goes That blows my mind that a Christian would ever have a racist, prejudiced thought. We're all related, people. We just have a little different pigment. But we're all brothers and sisters, and we are one, especially in the body of Christ. Okay, now I go a little farther. You ready? Here we go. Back to Luke chapter 3. I took you all the way to Noah. Noah was the son of Lamech. Lamech was the son of Methuselah. How long did Methuselah live? 969 years. It tells me that in the book of Genesis, chapter 5, verses 25 and 26, in another genealogy here, it says, when Methuselah was 187 years old, he became the father of Lamech. After the birth of Lamech, Methuselah lived another 782 years, other sons and daughters. He lived 969 years. How is that possible? That is so unscientific. Well, I just told you, if there was this canopy, that's one way it could have happened. And then I found this. Use that God-given thing called Google. It's awesome. This thing just happened last year. Somewhere they did a study with worms. They used worms. And they were able to, through genetic stuff and making sure everything was perfect for that worm to not die, they were able to get the worm to live to an equal, what it would be in human years, 500 years. So these scientists are now saying, because we studied a worm, we believe it is possible for human beings to live hundreds of years. Now, here's what I thought in my Bible mind. Oh, so when the Bible says it, it's ridiculous. But when you have a worm that can live a long time, then it's awesome. Really? No. I believe you probably could get that worm to live to 500, 600 human years. I believe with the right conditions, human beings could live hundreds of years. And I actually believe they did, because the Bible tells me they did. Now look, right after Noah, you see all the ages start to go down. Well, the atmosphere is totally changing. Everything is freaking out. People are saying that kind of a worldwide flood, if all that really happened biblically, this world would have gone through incredible catastrophe. And one family is saved. So that's Methuselah. How about Methuselah's line? Methuselah lived 969 years. That's Genesis. Let me go back to Luke on my iPad. Luke chapter 3. And we're going down to now the next one in line. Anybody reading it? Who was Methuselah's father? There you go. Methuselah was the son of Enoch. He's one of the major players in this pregame introduction. It tells me back in that Genesis genealogy, Genesis chapter 5, verses 23 and 24 tells me about him. When Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived in close fellowship with God for another 300 years, and he had other sons and daughters. Enoch lived 365 years in close fellowship with God. Now, every other person in that genealogy, it says, they lived this many years, they died. This many years, they died. This many years, they died. Not Enoch. It says of him, one day he disappeared because God took him. So this guy, Enoch, is walking in close fellowship with God, and he disappears. There's a few people on this pregame introduction, on this team, in this story in the Bible, who've had this experience. Enoch, taken up, caught up. And to me, he's a picture of the rapture. People they'll say the rapture, the word rapture is not in the Bible. I taught the class yesterday. You all know it is, those of you who are at the class. If you go to Thessalonians, it's talking about those who are still alive in Christ will be caught up. Now, if you take those words caught up and go back to the Latin, as the Bible's translated, that word is rapturo. There it is. So anybody that tells you the word rapture is not in the Bible, they're not Bible students. It is. It's right there. And it means caught up. Those of us, and it'll happen to somebody, it might be us, when the rapture happens, we are caught up like Enoch, and we skip the death part, and we go right to be in the presence of God. I am almost done here with my genealogy. Let me get the rest of it here. Lamech was the son of Methuselah. Methuselah was the son of Enoch. Enoch was the son of Jared. Jared was the first one to make an engagement ring. People had to come to him to get the engagement ring. Alternative fact. Jared was the son of Mahalalel. Mahalalel was the son of Kenan. Kenan was the son of Enosh. Enosh was the son of Seth. Seth was the son of Adam. Adam was the small s, son of God. Luke goes all the way back. Basically, if you want to trace it, God traces the lineage of Jesus all the way back to, even physically, God through Adam. And I mean, Jesus is the capital S son of God. He's also the small s son of God. He goes all the way back to God, and we see this. Now, who is Seth? You know Cain and Abel. Some of you know about Cain and Abel. Cain killed Abel. God says the Messiah is going to come through the woman, so it's not going to come through the line of Cain. It's going to come through the next son, Seth. So Seth is born. He's here in this genealogy. I go all the way, and I can now connect, and here's where I'll end it. I can connect Adam to Jesus. That's interesting to me, because if you go to this passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about the first Adam and the last Adam. And I just saw it in the genealogy. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 45 to 49 tells me this. The scriptures tell us the first man, Adam, became a living person. But the last Adam, that is Christ, is a life-giving spirit. What comes first is the natural body, then the spiritual body comes later. Adam, the first man, was made from the dust of the earth, while Christ, the second man, came from heaven. Earthly people are like the earthly man, and heavenly people are like the heavenly man. Just as we are now like the earthly man, we will someday be like the heavenly man. That is talking about those who accept Jesus Christ. Now, here we go. Jesus Christ is God the Son. He's in the Trinity. He exists. He's eternal. He's always existed. Jesus didn't start in the book of Matthew. He's there in creation. The Bible tells us that God created the world through Jesus Christ. Now, we call him Jesus after he's born. But he's existed in the Trinity. And now, because there's this broken relationship between God and man, Jesus, who represents God and man, comes to earth. He lives a sinless life, born of a virgin. He goes to the cross and dies on the cross for our sin. There's this broken covenant between God and mankind. We can't fix it because we're not qualified. We're just man. We're just half the covenant. Here comes Jesus. He's both parts of the covenant. He represents God. He represents man. He now becomes the bridge between the two at the cross, and he dies in our place. We're sinners. We're guilty. He's innocent. He dies. We're forgiven. We're free. That's Jesus Christ. But here's the first Adam. We are like the first Adam in our flesh. We're born physical. Jesus was born physical. Jesus actually died a physical death, buried in the tomb. But when he rose, he became glorified. He has a glorified body, and he is now at the right hand of the Father. He's his place back at the Trinity. We have this physical body. Now we get to choose what's going to happen to it. Because here's the crux of it all. Everybody has eternal life. I know some of you were raised in church. I was. I always thought Christians had eternal life. Everybody has eternal life. Just depends how that life is spent. That's the Bible. Because you are physical, you are soul, but you have a spirit. And a lot of people live physical and they live soul. To me, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So you're physically alive, your soul's functioning. But your spirit's dead or dormant. Now, if you die that way, your spirit lives on. But your spirit, because of a rejection of Jesus Christ, will now live totally separated from God. It will be a conscious, knowing, in the words hell, we don't like to talk about hell in church, but you will be in a conscious, knowing, everlasting death that is called hell. Those who accept Jesus Christ, the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes into them. My spirit is alive now, not dead or dormant anymore. The Holy Spirit makes my spirit alive. Now my spirit controls my soul, my mind, my will, and my emotions. My body is just a slave. That's how it's supposed to work. I'm supposed to live inside out. Y'all know we fight it. Sometimes we go back to outside in. But we're supposed to live inside out. But now what will happen to us, our spirit lives on. We are caught up. We are transformed. Or even if we're dead, the dead in Christ, transformed, glorified body. And now we are in the presence of Jesus Christ. So we get to go from the first Adam physical to the second Adam Christ. And one more scripture that ties it all together is in 1 John 3, 2. 1 John 3, 2 says, "Dear friends, we are already God's children. If you're saved, you're God's children. But the people, no, say, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And we'll have the glorified body." From the first Adam to the second Adam. It's a choice. We believe it's a choice. You choose how you want to spend eternity. And if you come to the cross of Jesus Christ and say, "Yeah, I really believe it." It's a belief thing. It's not a life thing. It's a belief thing. And then your belief affects your living. But it's a belief thing. So I want to ask you today, do you believe in Jesus Christ? That he is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. If you do, today you will be saved. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for each one here. Thank you for those that listen via app and online, those who will watch the live stream. God, I pray that anybody listening will make a choice. I'm just going to ask you to make a choice, and it's you and God. We don't have membership here. We don't even have church membership. So it's not about coming up and filling out a card, joining the church. It's a matter of, do you really believe there is a God, and do you believe this Bible story about Jesus Christ? So you and God need to talk. It has nothing to do with me. You and God need to talk. Do you believe? And so look deep in your heart. And if you do, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. You're going to believe everything the Bible says about Jesus, even the things you don't understand, because it's faith. You believe by faith. And today you will be saved. Your life may still have a mess. We all deal with something. There's not a soul that's ever been saved that doesn't have some kind of issues. So if I could promise you that you're going to get saved and not have issues, I would, but that's a lie. You get saved. And then God helps you with the things that you're dealing with, all of us. So if you want to believe today, here it is. Here's the prayer. I'm not going to have you stand, come forward, nothing. Just you and God talk. Believe this prayer in your heart. Just pray, "God, I believe in you. I believe you are real, and I believe you love me. I believe in Jesus, that he is God the Son. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for my sin, and he rose from the dead. I don't understand it all, but in faith today, I choose to believe. I accept you, Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. God, forgive me my sin. I'm sorry for what I've done. Holy Spirit, live in me. Lead me and guide me all the days of my life. Thank you, God, for my salvation. In Jesus' name.